Believers, and welcome to the now landmark 10th episode of the Puzzle Warriors 3. I am the Woolly One, also known as Craig. With me are Chaos 72 and Sneaky Beat 15, better known as Ray and Ian of the Longbox Heroes Alliance. Howdy, boys.
Howdy.
Hello.
Why did we go with howdy?
Howdy.
I don't know. I'm in a country state of mind. I don't know. I really have no idea.
It's okay. It's good to keep it fresh. Especially now that we're in the big double-digit episodes.
Yeah. So this week we are covering October the 28th to November the 4th. Events of the week. Deadpool dailies that are happening. Today we had the Black Blade. Tomorrow is Green Patch. Friday, Red Torch. Saturday, Yellow Colossus. Sunday, Red Cyclops. Monday, Yellow Hood. Tuesday, Blue Doc Ock. And Wednesday, Red Thor. Can anybody use any of said things?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like that Colossus is probably something I could use.
Yeah, see, I thought so, but apparently my Colossus is all full up on yellow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But that Red Cyclops, that looks pretty good.
I agree.
Get him up, but I'm really looking forward to that blue Doc Ock. My Doc Ock is
one blue away from
maxed.
Being...
I need two blues, so that'll put me halfway there.
Nice.
Yeah, the blue Doc Ock is the only power I think that I can see that I'd need of any of those, so... That'd be nice to get.
Yeah, and his it starts getting really good at level 4, which is where I will be.
All right, good deal. Moving up in the list of things to talk about, we're going to put the 4-star Deadpool Daily 5 every 5th day event things up here to the top. I don't really know what to call those, but
yeah, it's a confusing name.
The Crash of the Titans.
Sunday was what's that?
Clash of the Titans. Crash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
There you go.
Sunday was Ant-Man versus, for whatever reason, Jean Grey. Did anybody succeed with their Ant-Man?
I don't even know that I have an Ant-Man, so I'm going to go with no.
They went with Jean Grey, I think, because her powers really worked against Ant-Man well. Unfortunately, really well. She just was devastating. I tried a couple different tactics, and not a chance. No, I've only got like 4 Ant-Man covers, but she just wiped the floor with me.
Yeah, all I have is 2 purple Ant-Man, so he was having no dice against her. Coming up later, we have Friday is Star-Lord, and I think just for amusement factor, they should put him up against a really cranked up Rocket and Groot just to make me laugh. And next Wednesday is Kingpin versus, I don't know, Carnage, why not? I'm just going to make outlandish guesses.
Right, I guess, you know, if it's anything like the last one, you would want to, you know, try to incorporate someone who has powers that would, you know, instantly thwart Star-Lord. I assume it'll be he'll fight a cranked-up 3-star Sam Wilson so that Red Wing can take away all of his countdown tiles that make him useful.
Yeah.
And, no, I don't think Sam Wilson can fight on his own. Never mind. I retract that guess. I'll think of something better later.
Story events. Enemy of the State should be finishing up for everybody within the next day, I believe. You need 90,000 big points to get the yellow vision cover, and then all the way up to 170,000 to get the legendary. First or second place gets you 2 Hulkbusters, and 3 through 150 is Colossus. I'm for sure going to get the vision cover. It looks really sketchy that I'm going to get all the way up to 170 because I haven't gotten the 90 yet.
Yeah, we've got 2, maybe 3 people in the Alliance who have a chance. That's about it. I know I don't. I'm just hoping to get the vision cover. There's no way I'm getting that 170.
Right.
Yeah, 170 is a lot of points.
I'm pretty lax. I've turned most of my attentions to the season/PvP events. Because I know you do get quite a few points, you know, when you do the all of the wave attacks.
Right.
So I'm sure that's why it's cranked up so high, but I didn't invest the proper amount of time into Enemy of the State this time. Disappointed.
I mean, even you get the big waves where you get a couple thousand points.
Right.
It's still an awful lot to get to 170.
Right.
Yeah.
PvP events that happened. Cover Squirrel, Ray's favorite. For 800 yellow, got you a yellow... 800 yellow. 800 got you a yellow Squirrel Girl. 1,000 was a purple Jean Grey. 1,300 for your legendary. And again, because apparently they like to give these out a lot anymore. First place was a Red Hulkbuster. And 2 through 100 were Vision covers. I didn't play a whole lot of Cover Squirrel. And yet somehow ended up in the top 25.
Yeah, we discussed this. I don't know how you managed that. Because I played the hell out of it, and I could barely break the top 200.
Yeah, I had way less points than Ray, and ended up in the top 25, and got a bunch of vision covers that I sold, because I didn't need any of them.
Except for the selling, I was in the same, I will call it a fortunate boat, as you were, Craig, I hopped into my slice super late, and I was able to grind up to, like, let's say 625 points and finished, like, 13th.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I snuck right in there, got a nice...
You got the up your vision then, so...
I did. I got two vision covers plus whatever hero point and ISO rewards come with top 25 finish.
Nice. Any idea what points you were at in that?
I don't remember where I was at.
I was just curious. I know I got above 650 points, and at 650, like I said, I was barely in the top 200.
That's outrageous. That's a rough slice. I can't even imagine that.
And I know that I had 650 because I got that 2-star recruit token, and that yielded a 4-star Red Hulk. So that was well worth the playing.
Right.
But, I couldn't get a vision. I wanted to fill my vision out and couldn't manage.
Nope. I agree. I would have been much higher. So, I mean, obviously, like, normally you would have dominated in my slice because I was with, like, 35 minutes left to go at, you know, 620 some points. I was number 2 or 3 in my slice and, was too cheap and lazy to shield myself and ended up plunging down to the 13th place by, or you know, even lower than that, maybe it might have been 16th place by the end of my rotation.
Right. Yeah, I've actually held off on leveling my X-Force Wolverine so that I stay in lower slices, but apparently it's not working.
Not this time. Right.
All
right.
The next event was Immortal Rage, which was the Red Hulk event, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
800 got you a blue vision, 1,000 was a green Red Hulk. 1,300 for your legendary again. First place was a black kingpin. And 2 through 100 were a bunch of bullseyes. I don't know that I got much of anything out of that event. Anybody else?
I think it might be very similar. Honestly, I haven't had a chance to play today, so I don't know how it ended. I was with probably 40 minutes left. I was in 21st place, and I shielded myself and turned on the World Series, and I have not been back to see how it how it ended up.
Apparently, I didn't play much of it because I ended up with a final score of 159 and finished 448th.
Okay.
So I didn't play a lot of Immortal Rage. I guess I've been playing Enemy of the State too much.
Yeah, mine's already scrolled off. I'm pretty sure I was just able to get into the top 100 and get a bullseye. My slice on that was not as punishing as the Squirrel Girl event. The bullseye is, I'm beginning to like him more and more.
Yeah, I'm becoming a fan. He's kind of sweet. So he's the next event, which is going on right now, is the Stay on Target. Stay on Target. Stay on Target.
Poor Porkins.
Yeah. Why is it the fat guy has to be named Porkins?
Because that's hilarious.
Yeah, but see, that's a Lucas joke that I can live with. Right. And then he had to go and bollocks it all up for the other movies by making blatant poop jokes. Yeah. Man, I can't wait for the new movie, so somebody who knows and appreciates them can actually make one.
Nope.
Any case. So the bullseye.
Back to the bullseye event.
800 got you a purple bullseye. 1K is purple kingpin. 1,300 for your legendary. 1 is a black Mr. Fantastic Bombastic. And 2 through 100 is blade covers.
Yeah, I don't really care for the blade. But so when that event started, I had just boosted. I took my bullseye from level 40 up to like 120-ish. And... Man, so you start off and it's, you know, really low characters that you have to face off against, like level 1s and, you know, 10 or whatever. He, taking those characters out with his power that throws out strike tiles.
Oh,
man,
yeah, his assassinate whatever thing?
Yeah, that was fun as hell. That was, that was a lot of fun just to start the event that way. What is that called? Contract Killer. That's
Contract
what it
Killer,
is.
Yeah,
so you take out a character and throw out strike tiles, and it just made those... I mean, they went really quick, but they were a bunch of fun. And still is, even at the higher level fights.
Kiss, kiss, say.
So, on a completely unrelated note, but I've got to tell you, this is it's just from what I'm looking at. Here in our outline slash script, the prizes, you to save typing, you left off Mr., so what I see as the prize for this is a number 1 is a Black Fantastic. I'm like, if that isn't a 1976 blaxploitation film, then I don't know what is. It's me, Black Fantastic.
Starring Ving Rhames. It's Black Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
I would have guessed that it was starring like Jim Kelly, but
Oh, that could have been.
Oh, man, was he good.
He could have done some of those whoop, whoop, whoop kung fu noises.
Exactly.
I love it when he does the whoop, whoop, whoop in his movies. Those are the best. Oh, man, I need to go watch some kung fu movies. That makes me excited. All right, so we have to move on to a topic that made me super sad.
Oh,
they okay. announced a new character, and it made me want to peel off my face and stomp on it. Because, for the love of God, no more Wolverines! What is wrong with the people at D3? Why do we need 600 Wolverine characters? Why? Well,
he's a very marketable franchise. Very marketable franchise. That Hugh Jackman's just so likable.
Yeah, oh, yeah. This is Caitlin Jackman. This one.
Timely.
Because we needed a female Wolverine, a stupid clone of Wolverine who's dumb.
So I'm taking it's X-23?
She joined She-Thor in characters that were made for no good reason, but we should talk about her powers. So she's got a green power called Holding Back. For 8 green, deals some damage, and it's one of these, change-o powers. If your team has 9 or more red and you activate it, it then switches over to Berserker Fury for the rest of the fight. Berserker Fury also does damage, but creates black strike tiles as well. She has a passive healing power. Anytime... So here's what I'm curious about. It says every time X-23 makes a red, green, or purple match, right. She gets healed. So if she's not tanking those colors, does nothing happen?
The way I read it is that it's anytime red, green, or purple. But you're right. The way it is written, it could be she has to be the tank for it. She has to be the one that has her active icon on those tiles.
Right. That's what I'm curious to see how that plays out, because that drastically changes it. If she has to be have those powers,
it won't be
makes her a lot
as
less useful.
Yeah.
A lot less useful. And then her purple power, which takes 12 purple, very similar to the
ambush
of Daredevil. Create a trap tile. If matched by the opponent, deals a bunch of damage. If matched by your team, deal less damage, but slightly different than the ambush is it also creates a strike tile. And this one starts costing less for each friendly strike tile on the board. So I suppose once you get into Berserker Fury and start making strike tiles, that will get a whole lot cheaper than 12 purple, but it'd be easier to team her up with Blade or something and just let that cost get down real quick.
Yeah, since she doesn't use red.
Right. Her red's passive. Use Blade. Don't match red. You know, let Thirst stack you up a bunch of tiles.
Looks interesting. And man, if they would have left her... So, if you Google X-23 and you're not Craig, you get this goth chick looking Wolverine. And man, if they would have went with that animation, I wouldn't have complained. I'd have been like, okay, that's perfectly acceptable. But no, she's in yellow spandex. And yeah, I don't like her.
4-star, I take it?
Yeah, she is a 4-star.
Okay.
Alright, so that's the new sadness. Moving on to a brand new thing, which we kind of talked about, I think, at one point.
I think we teased it last week a little bit, but...
We decided to think up a characters we would like to see in the game. So we each came up with one hero and one villain, and some base what we think their powers ought to do. So let's go through the heroes. Who wants to go first?
We're starting with heroes?
Yeah.
I'll start, because I can still use some input on this, because I've been giving it... Been toiling over these powers since last episode.
All right.
So the hero that I went with was Ghost Rider.
All right.
So, I know he's not, you know, super viable for the future of the game, as he is trapped in some sort of strange licensing limbo where he can only be played by the one and only Nick Cage.
How is he not in this game?
But, so, his first power is called the Eye of Judgment, and it is a black power. It is similar to Doom's purple power, but it's passive without the consuming part. Once per turn, he turns one black tile on the board into what I'm calling a sin token, and they just stay out there. They power his next power.
Okay.
So that's the only purpose. The next power is it's yellow. It's his penance stare.
Mm, of course.
Yep. I don't know. We'll say 12 yellow, probably. Does damage based on the number of sin tiles that are out on the board, plus some base damage.
Sure.
And his final attack is Hellfire. His chains come out, strike the enemy, standard red that does 1,200 damage, we'll say.
They could do that one kind of like the Carnage effect, where Carnage's tentacles go flying out. They could have the chains go flying off.
Yep, similar.
I'd have to imagine that the Ghost Rider animation would be a little bit cooler, but
I would hope so. So yeah, I've got to work on his that passive power, how to make it more effective. I don't know if it's going to have if it's just putting out trap tiles, if it's putting out countdown tiles, you know, and then as the power increases, the countdown on the tile goes from a 2-turn to a 1-turn. Sometimes he's putting out 2 Sin tokens per turn at higher levels. You know, it obviously. This is all rough drafty, but that's what I would like to see from the Ghost Rider. All right. Would like it to be the newer Ghost Rider, not the original Johnny Blaze.
What's wrong with Johnny Blaze?
I like him just fine, but I'm a Dan Ketch kind of guy.
All right.
Yeah, Ghost Rider is I think there's a lot of people who would agree the Ghost Rider would be an excellent addition.
But yeah, being that he is owned by Nick Cage, I would think the animations all have to feature Nick Cage's head.
none will feature Nick Cage. Will only feature Marvel art. All right. Who's got the next hero?
Oh, that's a good question. I suppose I can.
All right.
Okay.
I kind of did two because I couldn't decide.
Okay.
And I still can't decide.
I'll discord all the time then. Go ahead.
I'm going to do two real quick. Right. So I don't have all the detail that Ian did, actually. However, I think the one, a good 4-star that could be added would be Rogue. Rogue is such a, you know, essential X-Men character. So as her powers, I have one called Flying Punch, which does like a damage or stun effect, fairly straightforward. But then she...
Unlike Captain Marvel.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Second power would be a Absorb power, which I imagine would drain the enemy AP for like one color.
Right.
And then possibly, I don't know how you could do the animation on this, but then activate that enemy's power, but for her team.
Right.
Hmm. Wow, that'd be even more potent. I was just expecting her to be both like a color drain, an AP drain, and steel.
Sure. Yeah, but I think the fact that she can absorb other people's powers and use them, I think that has to be incorporated in some way. And
I wonder if you could kick it off like when fastball kicks off, where it's immediately charged and go.
Right.
Like it would just pick a random power of the other team and just immediately fire it.
Right. Sure. I would do that.
Exactly.
That'd
what
be fun.
I was thinking. Third power is Siphon Life Force, where she drains the enemy's life and regains some portion of that life that she drained. That's two absorbed powers, but that's pretty much what Rogue can do, so.
Yeah.
But then, my second one, and if I had to actually pick one to be in the game, I would truly like to see a 5-star Doctor Strange.
How about it?
Yeah.
So Doctor Strange would be what I would have to go with. So I have a Sorcerer Supreme attack, which does like an enemy team damage, and maybe include a stun with that. I have him having a passive called Dormammu's Aid, just like the Hood. However, I was thinking change it up a little bit so that whenever the team makes a match, they gain extra AP. I don't know, maybe qualify that on
maybe
if you make a match.
Dormammu's Bane.
Maybe, but since his...
You have to be using the Eye of...
The Eye of Agamotto?
Yeah, the Eye of Agamotto. Yeah.
Does that some sort of shielding power, I assume?
I had not included anything like that, no, but...
Mm. Oh, it's his most common artifact.
Sure, but I went instead with the Book of the Vishanti.
Yeah.
Which I would love to see him have a power where he revives a downed ally.
Ooh, that's
like
too powerful.
25 to 50% of their life, maybe.
Ooh, that's a lot.
that'd have to be an outrageous amount of... AP.
Oh,
it have to be like 30.
No, I was going to go to that outrageous. That's unusably outrageous. I was going to go like 19, but...
To bring someone all the way back?
No, not all the way. 25%.
25% is a lot, 20%. Especially if you get any character who can do healing.
10%. Ooh, how about he can do... What if it is a however much AP you want to spend... That's the percentage they come back with health-wise.
Ooh.
Maximum of 30.
Ooh.
With a minimum of that's really high, like 16 or something.
Sure, minimum. Yeah. Well, like minimum of 10, maximum of 30.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So can we be done with that?
That's just getting crazy.
But yeah. He's Doctor Strange.
It would have to be some color, though, that nobody can generate. Because otherwise it would just be out of hand.
Right.
Interesting. All right.
Anyway, that's what I had in mind, and I would really like to see a Doctor Strange, even if the powers were completely different.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to have to wait till the movie comes out for that one.
Yeah, I don't know who that third 5-star that's coming up is going to be.
I don't know. It's still been no announcements that I've seen.
Probably Wolverine.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because we probably need another Wolverine. Oh. I think we need like 9-year-old Wolverine so he can hang out with old man Logan and female Wolverine then go on double dates. I don't know, whatever. All right, so I went with my favorite X-Man because I'm a longtime X-Man guy. So I went with my boy Nightcrawler. His powers is, as everybody knows, Nightcrawler is a fencing master. So he puts out some trap tiles. While these are on the board, they would negate damage, much like Elektra's do, where if you know she is going to take damage, the trap tile disappears instead. But I'm saying that since he's so good, it does that for the whole team. So no matter which of your characters is going to take damage, he's just going to negate it.
I can see that. As many times as he saves people in the comics, I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, he's Nightcrawler. That's what he does. I guess I'm going to maybe flip the order of these. His another power of his is going to be, I guess slightly less known maybe, is that he is the child of the crazy being Azazel, who lives in the Brimstone Realm. So I'm saying that he is the scion of Azazel, and as a passive, he summons darkness from the Brimstone Realm, which creates X number of random black tiles just on the board. So as it goes up in power, it, you know, it starts at, makes a one black tile randomly somewhere on the board, goes up to 2, 3, 5, 10, whatever. And then his black power is the good old BAMF, which is his obligatory teleport power. As much as I hate them, rearranges the tiles on the board, but in more like pairs that you get to pick. So at level one, you would pick, you know, two tiles and swap them. At higher levels, you will pick multiple pairs and swap them. So you know, at level five, I'm saying that you could pick, you know, like 4 or 5 pairs of tiles and flip them, which would let you be able to create yourself criticals fairly easily, because he's going to rearrange things the way he wants with his teleports.
Sure. The key to that is going to be the animation.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's just got to, like, just start flying around the board, just beef, boof, boof,
right.
Boof.
Get the little brimstone clouds going.
And the little brimstone clouds, yeah. So that's what I got. Villains, I guess we can go in reverse order. Do you want to do the same order?
The same order is fine. If you can do, we can do it snake style, though. I like that, too. But that's spending too much time on it. So my villain that... that I would also like to see in the game is I would like to see MODOK, the former leader of AIM, giant floating head with tiny little stub arms, because we need more giant floating heads in the game, in my opinion. And
so he can hang out with Charles and Kingpin and join the large
giant
club.
The giant floating appendages. So MODOK, giant floating head, former leader of AIM. One of his abilities would definitely be his purple ability, which would be pure psionic blast. It's a straight up damage. He would do, you know, X amount of damage to a single enemy target. Then he would his second ability, color I guess is not really important at this point. So we'll say blue because blue is underused. Superhuman calculator. This would be nice. A like combo support effect for his team and work against the enemy team. Depending on levels, it both drains enemy ISO, or not ISO, enemy AP 2, 3, or 4, depending on how high you have the ability. And at the same time, it has the useless hood ability of lowering any friendly countdown tiles by 1. And his final ability, which is by far my favorite, and I'm really... not 100% sure how I'm going to put this in effect, but it would be called Deadly Spam, and MODOK can convert himself in, well, he can. I don't need to tell you that he can. MODOK converts himself into raw data and travels to the enemy team in the form of an email. Once opened, he does a team damage.
Is that a countdown tile? Or
I don't know. I feel like it should be.
Well, what if my team consists of Devil Dinosaur who can't check email? Because his little hands can't touch the keyboard or anything. I mean,
I don't know. I apparently he can. Maybe he's got a Bluetooth that he can use to check his email. I don't know. It's just a great ability, and I think it needs to be incorporated at some point.
All right, Ray, who are you guys a villain?
So originally my villain was the villain that Craig went with. So I changed my villain. And now I think we need another villain who can be a nemesis for people like the Punisher and Daredevil. I think we need a Crossbones character. I think he's pretty straightforward, similar to Punisher, if you remember Crossbones in the comics at all, maybe.
Literally no one other than Leonard F. Chikarisen remembers Crossbones.
He is very similar to the Punisher. I figured he could have a Bowie knife attack, have a full assault attack, or a Bowie knife being black, a red full assault attack where he comes out with a machine gun and explosives that destroys tiles as well as doing damage. In addition, though, he needs a Terragenesis heat power, which Crossbones had for a little while. If you recall from the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Terragenesis, the leaking of the mutant powers into the normal people.
Yes.
Yeah.
That actually happened, and Crossbones got this heat power that he could send out red waves of energy, and that would be a team-damaging attack. Pretty straightforward, just damage kind of person. Unfortunately, I see him more as a, like, two-star, three-star character, so probably not very likely, but I thought he would be a cool addition.
Sounds like maybe a low hit point one.
Right.
More of a glass cannon.
I didn't want to disagree, because I agree that you thought he would be a cool addition, but I wanted to let you know that you were mistaken. All I could think, and this is also probably wrong, but all I thought as soon as you mentioned him was, I was like, that is a good idea. They should make Kraven a character.
Kraven the Hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Well, also, you may not know, but Crossbones was also in the movie. He was in the last Captain America movie. They didn't call him Crossbones, but I'm thinking they may in the next movie.
Was he in the last Captain America movie?
Yes, not as Crossbones, and now, of course, I'm not going to be able to.
Was he the Hydra agent that got extra screen time?
Yes, a lot of extra screen time.
Did he fight, let's say, Falcon?
Yes, he had the big Falcon attack. That was the guy that Falcon went up against for a while.
Okay.
It was played by Frank Grillo in the movie.
Yeah.
And I believe he will be coming back in the next Captain America movie as Crossbones.
That makes sense.
All right.
So that was part of the reason I picked it as well, because he was kind of fresh in my mind from that.
Sure. Timely.
But I can't see him being more than a 3-star. So unless they're going to continue to expand those, it's not very likely.
Right.
Right. All right, for my villain, I went old school, way back to 1964, X-Men issue number 3, The Blob. The Blob has, of course, his signature power, which everybody knows and loves. Nothing moves the Blob. Man, I love that video game. All right, so The Blob puts out some countdown tiles. While they are active, he is permanently moved to the front of the line and tanks all damage. His second power is due to his... No, I've got... Chandelier stuck in my head, or not chandelier, Sia songs. But then he's got thick skin and an elastic heart. So he's got a bulletproof power. This would put out projectiles, because he's pretty durable. And his final power is the Gift of Girth. While the Blob is in the front of the line, he reduces all damage to himself by X number, which would be on top of the projectiles that he had put out with his bulletproof power. So... you kind of have to combo them all together, and he does not do attacks of any kind. He is a big meat shield for the rest of the team. So he puts himself out in front, throws out protection tiles for himself, and stands there and absorbs a huge amount of damage while the rest of your team fires cannons from behind.
So just completely separately, I said I wanted to do the Blob as well. And very similar to yours, obviously nothing moves the Blob. But I did give him a crushing power, a crushing attack, just because I thought, yeah, he can crush people.
Yeah, he can.
But yeah, very similar to what you came up with.
I mean, he's one of those villains who's, you know, strong compared to normal people.
Right.
In the grand scale of the Marvel Universe, he's not that strong.
Correct.
All right, so those are our characters. Maybe we'll do this again in a couple of weeks and come up with some more stuff.
I agree, because I've been inspired. Since we did this, I've been inspired by a whole host of new villains and heroes.
All right, you can't do Kraven the Hunter.
I will not do Kraven the Hunter.
By the way, when we did mention this on the last show, we got a response from Bri the Fry Guy. He came up with Nightcrawler. He also came up with Doctor Strange. And he included Gambit, who I thought was...
Yeah,
everybody
loves Gambit.
Yeah, he could easily be a 4-star character, so...
Oh, yeah. I mean, he charges things up and they go boom. I mean,
right. Throwing out countdown tiles that explode, throwing some cards that maybe destroy tiles. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Gambit's totally an awesome character. Reader, I guess we don't have readers. I'm an idiot. Listener comments. Right, tell me what came in through the mailbag.
We got several people saying that our idea for a section called It's Not Called That. People really like that idea. Our longtime listener, Stink Palm, agrees that Squirrels is a far superior name to Furry Friends for Squirrel Girl.
Absolutely.
But I figure...
And every time we play that, you say that, by the way, and I say it to myself, it's to the tune of Motley Crue.
Wouldn't it be?
Squirrel.
Right, who lets him on this show?
Of course it is.
I blame you.
With nuts and chubby little cheeks.
Stop it.
Squirrels. I could keep going.
Oh, my goodness. If only I had someone who could edit that out.
So we don't have a section like that yet, but I'm sure that we will be coming up with more of them as we go along, because we're not kicking Craig out just yet, and it's just going to happen.
You've got Xavier's giant melon head attack. I mean,
right?
You know, there's lots of them. They just kind of come naturally, though, as I talk about characters.
So we'll have to let it happen organically for now.
I think so.
Okay.
So the next thing, Combat Mage on, what's that thing called? Twitter. That's what it's called.
Yes.
He wants to know, is it just him or are Schoolgirl's powers all double entendres? Just to remind you, they are the bigger they are, nuts from above, and furry friends.
I think he's reading too much into Schoolgirl.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't know. I don't know where to draw the line. I would say he's reading too much into it only because her name is Squirrel Girl. If she were Squirrel Woman, I'd be like, hells yeah. She's totally hinting at things.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that much thought was put into it since, you know, it's Squirrel Girl, who's clearly just a comic character in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Not to be super taken seriously.
From what I have read of her comic, there is not very many references of that sort. So also from Twitter, just wanted to put a call out to @TheDuge. He's been playing Marvel Puzzle Quest for, I believe at this point it is 10 days. He has listened to our beginner's tutorial and just want to say welcome to MPQ and good luck with your roster.
Yeah.
So, we've got a couple questions now.
All right.
Ty Ink Knots on Reddit asks, when do you use boots? He says he only uses them in the Gauntlet and on the Daily Deadpool for the 4-star event. When do you guys use boots? When do you think they're useful to put in?
Those times. he's exactly right. I use my boosts infrequently, or if I'm in some sort of... Oh, like the other day, I had been grinding on Cover Squirrel for quite a while, and everybody was hurt, and I was all out of health packs, and they were hurt not badly enough that I couldn't use them, but they weren't fully healthy, so I was like, if I just stack a bunch of boosts on these people and send them into this fight, I could get, you know, 52 more points towards my Cover Squirrel total score, and that'll sit me good, but I don't use them regularly, if that's what... Yeah. We're getting at.
I generally only really use mine now in the Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, Clash of the Titans is
that tends to be one I boost because you kind of have to.
Right, and I'm still recovering mine. I have zero boosts after the last Galactus event, so I'm just waiting for them to build up again before I can use any of them anyway.
Yeah, I did use quite a few in to try and get us Galactus points for the Alliance.
Yeah, the boost when actually fighting Galactus made a huge difference. Okay, second question is from Spydero on Reddit. He says that there seems to be a trend in Reddit and on the forums of players feeling that the events are too much work for the rewards that you earn. What do you guys think of this? I'll say that I think I will continue my diatribe that people have a far too great self-entitlement. And the rewards that you got from some of the events here recently were pretty significant, and now that we're back to getting 20 ISO for every match, I think people are just longing for the days of getting a 2-star token for no work whatsoever.
I think so. I think I think it's just a matter of, you know, maybe not quite to the degree that it gets your ire up, but it's definitely a lack of patience, and I feel like they're losing sight of the big picture. This is truly, in my experience, one of the only free games that offers, you know, in-app purchases as its, you know, probably primary source of revenue. and at the same time allows you access to everything you need without putting in any of the money that they would hope to generate.
Right.
So
yeah, you don't have to buy characters. No. I mean, you can get them just like everybody else. There is no add-on packs to buy. Like
right.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. You can spend money to buy some in-game currency.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily guarantee that.
Yeah. So like event-wise, I mean, you're getting 3-star covers, which are essential. You're getting ISO, which is essential. You're getting hero points several times over.
Right.
Like once you hit the 2-star, 3-star, 4-star cover generating tokens. That's what they're called.
Right.
The higher level recruit tokens. So I feel like there are plenty. I feel like they are generous.
Once your team is good enough that you can Deadpool daily and beat the big enchiladas, then you're getting a fair amount of rewards per week.
Yeah, right.
You can solidly make a 3-star transition at that point.
Yep.
Right.
Which leads me to the last question. There's a question about us and our rosters. Where are we with our rosters, and how much money do we put in? I wrote up a little answer to this. Generally, I think we're 3-star players. I think that primarily we're 3-star players.
Yep.
Probably fully transitioned to 3-star, even though I certainly don't have all the characters and have enough ISO to get them maxed. But I would like to think that I'm beginning to transition to 4-star, but I think I'm just being a little hopeful there. As the Deadpool daily 5-day event has shown, I have a few 4-stars, but I'm not transitioning yet. I think that's about where we are.
And if you want to look at our rosters, I know Ray and I both have put ours up onto mpq.gamependium.com.
I'm about to do that.
Okay, so if you look for Wooly1 or Chaos72 on there, you will find our rosters.
Yeah, they're on our about page.
Mine's probably a week out of date.
Yeah, mine's probably 2.
Doesn't update itself?
No.
No, you have to tell it what your roster is.
I'm tired already. I'm just going to go with Ray's comment, because mine's similar. Again, like I think my roster is a little less powerful than probably both of your rosters. And I choose to dedicate a little less time than you guys too, so it makes sense to me. But yeah, I feel like mostly 3-stars. I have the 1-1-star that I keep for the Deadpool daily events.
Yep.
I'm rather than buying new slots, even though, you know, the hero points are available, I am just weaning myself off 2-stars. You know, I've gone from like 9 to 6 to I think I'm down to 4 or 5 now. You know, just enough to play again the Deadpool dailies. And, you know, I have almost every 3-star character. I'd have to look, but I can't think of anybody who I don't have anymore.
Yeah, there's not too many that I don't have. I can't think of any that I want that right. I don't have at this
right.
point.
Right, and of the ones that I have, I would say 10% of mine are maxed out, maybe 15. Hmm. You know, then I'm talking ISO and covers.
Right.
I have many
Which
more
is
that
a
are,
lot of ISO.
Right, I have many more that are cover full that aren't ISO full.
Sure.
I've,
and then as far as money-wise, you know, I put money into the game, but not regularly and not very much. But I see it as, you know, I played this game. If I were to buy a game for my PC and I'd spend 60, 70 bucks on that, I haven't put that much into this game. And yet I've played a hell of a lot of time on here.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind putting a little bit more in if I need some hero points. But I got on a swing of having some hero points. So for right now, I'm not putting any more in. But I don't see it as a problem to throw some money in. At the same time, man, you look at like King Dreadnought and you wonder just how much money some of these people have put in.
Right.
There really is. I'm with you. I have spent to date $19.99.
Right.
Early on, I bought some hero points so that I could unlock some more slots so that I could have more characters. But again, that I have discovered, you know, playing through a second time because my accounts were not transferable and I wanted to play on my smartphone when I couldn't be on my Steam. You know, I've done that purely through, you know, what the game gives me. And, you know, absolutely. Again, that account is almost as satisfying as my one on Steam, except for the fact that the one on Steam is linked to my Longbox Heroes Alliance. And, you know, I have much more invested into it time-wise. And the Steam actually, you know, puts right in my face every time I start playing exactly how many hours I have invested into this game.
Right.
it's inappropriate.
I'm kind of glad the mobile version doesn't tell me that.
I know. I feel the same way. Like, I thought I had a lot. And I know that a lot of my Alliance members and my friends are probably even more than that. Like, when I log in and I see that I've spent 1,200 hours on this game, and I'm way behind a lot of people. Like, that's right. out of control. Like, I really need to reevaluate my life.
Right. I just looked at my roster. I have 15 3-stars at level 166 right now.
Yeah, I think I have like 6 or 7.
But, and yeah, I also put one $20 purchase into the game, which I just did recently during the anniversary event when they were giving you an extra 30% or
right.
whatever yeah, it was on absolutely. Your purchase. I bought a bunch of hero points because, unlike these other two jerks, I don't get hero points ever from my Deadpool dailies because, as we all know, I get moonstones and spandex. So I bought a big pile of hero points, which are all gone again. And right now I have a She-Thor sitting in my things waiting for a roster spot. I need to get 30 hero points out of events so I can recruit her.
Have you completely farmed the prologue?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Long gone. All right. So are that all the comments? And
that about wraps it up.
Preguntas o problemas? Okay. Feature character of the week would be Henry Hank McCoy, also known as The Beast.
Absolutely. One of the originals.
Does anyone... I like to use the Beast. I don't know if anybody else uses the Beast.
He is not one of my 166ers, so unfortunately he does not get the attention that I suspect he deserves.
Yeah, the same. I do have his covers maxed, but I haven't taken him above 120. That's where the ISO really starts to be gobbled up by leveling. I use him when I can use a 120 character because he's a fantastic utility character. His healing power is amazing, and he can do team damage. But yeah, level 120 is it's not something I can use on a regular basis.
Yeah, I try to use him when I can. He's one of my favorites, getting to be near the top. So his powers, his blue power is Mutagenic Breakthrough, where you know he uses his biochemical knowledge to whip himself up a magic potion. This makes I think it starts out with a 3-turn countdown
Correct.
Tile, goes down to 2-turn, and up to level 4 goes down to 1-turn, which is pretty sweet. And when those go away, it turns into random special tiles. They can be strike, protect, or attack tiles. So those, and they get a little stronger at higher levels.
Yeah, max level, at level 5 max level, they turn into 174 strength tiles, which is pretty significant.
Right. But you don't know what you're going to get. They could all be protect tiles, they could all be attack tiles. Never know. But those kind of fuel his other powers. Once you have that going, his green power is Animal Inside, where Hank gives in to his more base instincts and smashes up his lab something fierce. If there are, by default, it just does some damage, if I remember right. But if you've got a blue special tile on the board, he destroys some random tiles and damages the entire enemy team.
Right. It starts off at 192 damage to all enemies. But if at max level, level 5, it does 780 to all enemies, which is pretty decent. But then, yeah, if he has the blue special tiles on board, it also deals up 104 damage per tile, which can total...
And it breaks 12.
Right. Which can total 2,028 points of damage to the entire enemy team.
Right. Plus that 780 you started with.
Right.
So, you know, there's a quick 2,800 points of damage plus whatever other kind of boosters you may have on the board to everybody else. Pretty powerful. His yellow power is his healing power.
So he does he does all that and he heals.
And he heals. Give a burst of health to the allies. Again, if there's a friendly blue special tile on the board, he also makes a gadget, which are protect tiles. So at max level, you are healing for 2,191 health. That's to your whole team. And creating 3 protect tiles of strength 121. That is on top of what your blue special tiles are. So if those are already protect tiles, you're just adding more. So you can get a pretty significant chunk of protection going on while getting healed all at the same time. So Beast is a pretty good all-around character to support you.
Yeah, his damage requires a little bit of a build-up. You kind of have to do the blue and the green together to get the damage.
Right.
But pretty decent once he gets there. But then you add in the healing power. It makes him a great utility character, especially since it's blue, green, yellow, which good to pair with people.
Right. And his bigger powers are a little expensive. Green is 9 green, and the yellow costs 11. So that's a lot. You know, that's a pretty fair amount of yellow to get that healing
right,
out.
Right, but it's a lot of healing and a lot of protect.
But it's a lot of healing. So
it's
totally worth it. Yeah, yeah.
How does that compare to Spider-Man's healing? I was just wondering, because he has a yellow healing power as well. Okay, it's a 12. It requires 12. So Spider-Man's, it's actually charges faster than Spider-Man's. Because Spider-Man,
I haven't actually compared them.
Yeah, Spider-Man has a 2,000 health heal, but his web bandages, but takes a little bit more to charge.
Right.
And doesn't give you the protect tiles.
Correct.
And
correct.
You have to have the web tiles ahead of time.
Right, right.
So it's actually harder to get off than Beast.
So yeah, what we're saying Beast is a pretty good character. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
What level do you have him at?
166.
Oh, okay.
I have him at 454.
That seems reasonable. I would say that's the way
to
go.
So that gets me that makes my countdown tiles a one-turn tile.
Right.
In the blue, and then 5 on the green to get that big blast of enemy team damage.
Yep.
And level 4 for the health, which gets me, heals for, you know, a good chunk of thing, and 2 protect tiles. I don't know. I think that's kind of the way to go with him is 4-5-4, but that's just me.
Yeah, I'm not sure. All the powers at 5 are pretty good, so.
Yeah. But it was enough healing that I didn't want to lessen his... I mean, that whole team attack to smash your lab and do, you know, 3,000 points of damage to the entire enemy team.
Right.
That can get pretty significant.
Right, absolutely. I love attacking the whole enemy team.
Yeah, good stuff. Rewards of the week. I think I just said a little while ago. I got a Sheathor today from an enemy of the state token. That was my big thing for the past week. What did anybody else get?
So I mentioned that I got a Red Hulk from the Squirrel Girl event, which was pretty awesome. Just before that, I opened up a Deadpool token, the Taco token, and managed to get an Electra. And then just in this last Gorgon event, when I earned the 2-star recruit token from there, I got an Invisible Woman. So I've got 4 4-stars in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
Sorry, 3 4-stars. I don't know what
still.
I said. 3 4-stars, but yeah.
That's quite the heater.
Pretty good run.
I have, due to one of our Alliance members starting a wild rumor, I have been even more turned off to opening tiles than I was, or tokens than I was before, so I have not opened any since the last show.
Okay.
Wow. I just can't bring myself to not open 2-stars.
As soon as I heard that nonsense from Parlance.
Oh, right.
I'm like, yep, not risking it. Hoarding every possible token ever for the end of days.
Or at least until they come out
until
with
they,
whether
yeah, until
or not
they confirm
that's true.
Or deny this event.
Yeah, I'm not sure what this mystery new feature is going to be.
Nope. Could be total fiction.
It could.
We'll wait and see.
All right. Ian, tell me about the Podcast Network.
The Podcast Network. We're a part of the Podcast Network, the soon-to-be-named Podcast Network, which also features such great shows as The Long Box Heroes, which is a show hosted by one Leonard F. Chikarasin and his buddy Todd. They talk about comic books, all the new comic books coming out in the week, and all comic book-related subjects. They also have a smaller podcast, Long Box Heroes After Dark, where they talk about non-comic book stuff and things that they couldn't fit into their regular show. There is The Podvocacy, hosted by Jason and... my notes. Well, it's definitely hosted by Jason Kirk. And it's... they talk about all things pop culture. They seem to be big fans of the show Gotham, amongst other exciting things. Upcoming Star Wars movies, Marvel Puzzle Quest to a significantly lesser degree than, say, this fine program. We also have the Fresher and Parlance show, which is a live YouTube show where Fresher and Parlance talk about the news, pop culture, and other weekly happenings. So you can check them out on YouTube. And we have the Prodigal Sons podcast, which is co-hosted by yours truly. And the four of us talk about anything that strikes our fancy. So unfortunately, I can't even tempt you with a format because we have none. But prepare to be amazed if you turn in, because you will find out how that podcast has managed to stay afloat for 2 long years now.
Yeah, how did the 2-year anniversary episode go?
You know, a little bit of glorious, a little bit of dumpster fire.
Oh.
Standard show.
All right, I will take a listen and report back.
All right. Last and leastly, the legendary Dadstractions archives are available on our network as the show is no longer being broadcast.
Okay. Oh, we had new news this week.
Woo!
Due to listener requests, we are now on the Stitcher.
We are. We are officially on Stitcher. And Stitcher is strange. This is very strange. They pulled the, I was able to get it on there and it was working, and they pulled one of our crappiest graphics that was available as, as the graphic for the page. However, I sent an email and got no response, but within a day they changed the graphic to something that is far better. We are available on Stitcher. You can access it on the homepage of puzzlewarriors3.com, or you can just go to Stitcher on your mobile device and search for Puzzle Warriors 3 and we will appear magically.
Sweet. So yeah, so be Baptist Stitcher. We're also on the iTunes. You can check us out on our webpage, puzzlewarriors3.com. We will post, as always, on Reddit. So if you'd like to leave comments on Reddit, on our website, we have our email addresses are up on our Contact Us part of our webpage. And there's a
Twitter
forum, I guess. Oh, yeah, and it's Twitter. You can hit us up on the Twitter.
At puzzlewarriors3.
Yeah. So I want to thank everybody for joining us again this week. Again, let us know if you have anything. Goodbye for now. And remember, some days you just need that Doritos Locos Taco. Good night, everybody.
No, you don't. It's gross.
It's super gross. Goodbye.
See ya.